Higher Human Performance, Episode 247. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Higher Human Performance. Show notes for today's episode can be found at Bula Network, B-U-L-A, network.com/247. It's never too late or too soon to focus. Skilled photographers prefer manual focus over autofocus. I think it's because mostly they trust their eyes more than they trust a microchip. And I think it's also because they have better control over the quality of the picture, better quality over the outcome. I don't claim to be a skillful photographer. I'm the guy who needs a point and shoot. You know, But I'm not a talented photographer, and if I were, I'm sure I would do what most of them do. I would lean toward manual focus. The thing about focus is that it changes with even the slightest movement. I mean, move 1 inch in any direction, and the focus needs to be readjusted. I mean, you've got to be constantly monitoring things with your eyes. It demands careful attention. Focus isn't merely an art for photographers, though, or creatives, or business people. We all need it. Back in July of this year, July of 2014, Greg McEwen, he published an article over at LinkedIn entitled "The One-Word Answer to Why Bill Gates and Warren Buffett Have Been So Successful." And in that post, and I've reposted it in the show notes at bulanetwork.com/247, he posted this four quadrant chart. Has an X and a Y axis. And so the X axis, the one that goes straight up and down, is using focus as a noun. And of course, it goes from low to high. And the horizontal axis is focus as a verb. And here's what the quadrants are, and you'll have to go look at this to really fully appreciate it. One quadrant says get the wrong thing done versus get the right thing done. Another quadrant, pointing over to another one, get almost nothing done and get a bit of everything done. Yeah, go look at it, play with it, and think about it. By the way, the one-word answer to why Bill Gates and Warren Buffett have been so successful, yeah, that one-word answer is focus. McEwen wrote the book Essentialism, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less. And here's what the jacket cover on the book says about the subject of essentialism and this book. Quote, "The way of the essentialist isn't about getting more done in less time. It's about getting only the right things done. It is not a time management strategy or a productivity technique. It is a systematic discipline for discerning what is absolutely essential, then eliminating everything that is not, so we can make the highest possible contribution toward the things that really matter." Man, wouldn't you like to accomplish that? It's about focusing on the things that really matter. I posted a photograph over at the website in the show notes, and it's a photograph of a pile of screws. And the camera is clearly focused on just a few of the screws in this pile. They are in clear focus, while all the others are mostly out of focus. Some are more out of focus than others, but that's the price that you pay for focusing on just a few. I'm sitting with an executive the other day, and I'm repeating advice that I distilled years ago when I found myself with an organization confused about the priorities. If employees had been asked what's important, well, they would have answered everything's important. And we think that may be the correct answer. Ah, but it's not. It's not. It's terribly, terribly wrong. And quite frankly, it's impossible. If everything is important, then nothing is important. That was my advice. If there are two pieces of wisdom that I have sought to pass on to others for a long, long time, this is right at the top. If everything is important, then nothing is important. The other one is the quality of our questions determines the quality of our work. And admittedly, that last one presupposes that we're not just asking the questions, but we're answering the questions, and with equal or superior quality. But today it's about focus. It's about figuring out what really matters. And that second piece of wisdom, that enters into it because I don't know how we can do that without asking questions. Tough questions. And by the way, taking the time to answer them. When I consult or coach an executive or a business owner, I often find myself asking them, which of the five W's and the one H best describe your organization? Yeah, you know what those are. Who, what, when, where, why, how. Which one of those one-word questions best describes your organization? And I'll ask them, just pick one. And usually they quickly make their selection. Can't remember the last time I had any executive sit there for a long time and ponder it. I mean, usually it leaps to their mind. And I'm prone to only ask this question once I feel I have gained enough insight that I think I know the answer. Now, I don't tell them. And the answer is important. If the leader sees things for how they really are, then the answer in my head usually matches the one they give. If the leader is trying to give the right answer, what they think I want to hear, and they're not being fully honest, it shows. And either way, I gain some insight that might be useful in our work moving forward. I'd say mostly I hear the truth. Most leaders that I work with are honest, truthful, and they're not deluded. Well, stands to reason, right? It's why they've engaged me. I don't find deluded leaders often reaching out for any assistance from me or anybody else. So I doubt my sampling is very scientific, but even so, it's helpful when we're working on focus issues. Organizations tend to concentrate more on one of these one-word questions than the others. Top leadership determines which is most important, and they can change over time. But mostly, I think a culture gravitates to whatever the CEO or the top leader pushes hardest. In spite of all the talk about anybody can be a leader, you know, it doesn't take a title to be a leader, and we've seen books of those titles and such things. I have not found it to be the case in practical matters when it comes to an organization's culture. Because not all leaders are created equally. And the person at the top has far more to do with organizational focus than anybody else. But there is a practical daily routine that each of us can lead to a point. And it's answered by the question, what are you going to work on today? What are you going to work on right now? The senior vice president, he may answer with some things the CEO has mandated. The COO, he may answer with some things the board has mandated. The shift supervisor, he might answer with some things that the plant manager has ordained, and so it goes. We all answer to somebody. Even the CEO or founder of a privately held company has to answer to financial partners, suppliers, lots of other outside influences and inside. None of us are in full command of our agenda or our focus. But let's drive this thing down to where we all live, and let's see if we can't learn some things, or at the very least, get the wheels turning so we can elevate our own performance and hopefully the performances of the people around us. The one-word question that trumps all the others. I confess that I'm naturally wired to ask one question more than all the rest. You know, those five W's and one H. And the one that I am most predisposed to ask is why? The reason or the outcome of a thing has always been my natural focus. Not everybody sees the world that way, and I have learned to appreciate that. Wasn't easy, but I worked at it. In my mind, the why connects quite easily to helping answer the others. So, for example, I enter into a company that is steeped in paperwork forms. And as I assemble the stack of these, I'm asking why all along the way. Well, an explanation may be given on some, and for others, well, nobody remembers why that form was created in the beginning, but it's been in use for so long, we all assume somebody somewhere needs it. Well, it turns out there's a lot of crossover work being done, meaning there's a ridiculous amount of redundancy in the work. And rather than capturing information once in some centralized location, the company is making multiple people gather the same information at multiple points along the way. And the why, well, that answers the who, the what, when, where, and how. Who is gathering this information? Turns out a lot of folks. Who benefits from this information? In some cases, nobody. What are we doing with this information? In some cases, we're doing nothing with it but filing it. When is this information being gathered, and when is it being put to use? Where in the process are we gathering this, and where does this information end up? How is this useful? So, while I admit my own inclination toward why, that's not why I suggest that it trumps all the others when we're talking about focus. I think it trumps the others because, more than any of the others, it directly connects all of the others. It's the reason for things. And isn't that what focus is all about? Isn't that the reason for the lens being focused on just a few of the screws in the photograph that I post over the show notes instead of being focused on all of them, the whole pile? The photographer seemed to be focusing on a rusty screw and on the head of the top of another screw. And by doing that, a couple of the other screws, well, they get into good focus as well, but the rest, they just don't matter as much. I mean, we see them. They're in the photograph. We know that they're screws. We can tell by looking at the photograph, even a blurry photograph of them. They're still screws. They're just not the important ones. And they're just not as important as the ones that are getting most of the focus. Just a few screws. They're the reason for the focus. What's your reason? Simon Sinek wrote the book, Start With Why. And Simon's a lot smarter than me, so I am happy to know that there is somebody who confirms what I have long practiced. Why is focus so hard? I guess there are millions of reasons why, but today I'm focused. See what I did there? I'm focused on one: distraction. And distraction isn't merely the kind that you'd think about when you consider texting while driving. By the way, I'm going to put a link in the show notes to a video. It was done some time back, and I think it's well over 2 million views, but you should watch this video, and I would urge you to make your kids, if they're driving age, well, even if they're not driving age, make them watch it too. It's a sobering video. You've seen videos like this that are urging us to stop texting and driving. Well, there's that kind of distraction, but distraction happens when we try to do too many things at one time because we think they're all important. And again, if everything is important, then nothing is important. That is, if we're focused on everything and everything is vying for equal attention, then we're going to end up disjointed and focused on nothing. Career application. Listen, no matter what your career path, focus is important, if not urgent. We all need to be able to answer the one-word question about our own career. What one-word question best describes your career and your approach to your career? Much of my work involves helping executives learn who they serve, particularly lower-level executives who wear titles like deputy or vice or assistant. And quite often, these people are in the trenches, albeit they're at a higher level. But they're at a lower level than their boss. and they're more involved in the daily grind than their bosses, usually. And as a result, they can tend to view things from a much lower altitude, and they have to do that. That's the necessity of their position. But as they're flying closer to the ground than their boss, they're often unable to appreciate the higher view held by their boss. And sometimes they can resent things they don't clearly see. And sometimes they can draw the conclusion the boss doesn't have a clue. They don't know what's going on here. They don't see what I see. And it's just one reason that some lower level executives struggle with second guessing their boss's instructions, or why they may find it difficult to salute the mandates that they get from their boss. It's all about knowing who your number one customer is. The answer is, it's always your boss. There's your focus. Sometimes the biggest career benefit I can give somebody is helping them better understand the value proposition of their career. Provide value for your boss, you're going to benefit. Provide higher value for your boss, and you're going to greatly benefit. And I see it everywhere I go. The person who can properly read and correctly anticipate the needs of their boss, they're the superstar. Boss just has to say something once. They just have to hint. Person picks up on it, moves with lightning speed, makes it the priority of their life. Boss thinks they're great. They're indispensable. But the person who can't or won't do those things, they're a burden. They're a burden, and if their name comes up in conversation, it's normally not in a good way, and very soon, sooner or later, they're going to be displaced. And I can't offer very many guarantees, but I have seen this one play out many times through the years. I guarantee it. It's hard to focus on the needs or wants of your boss, though, when you don't agree. And that's where you have to decide what you want to do and what you can do. And if you can't do it where you are, then my best advice is to get somewhere working for somebody where you can, because things will eventually disintegrate if you keep resenting the mandates from above. Focus on yourself by focusing on your number one customer, your boss. It's a concentration that is going to demand that you avoid the distractions of the office gossip parties and all the other noise that happens as organizations love to second guess the boss. What about a business application? In a recent episode of CNBC's The Profit, Marcus Lemonis, he walks into a beauty salon and he just sees there's all manner of merchandise. And like the first 20 feet of this thing, there are hair care products, there are knickknacks, there's jewelry. They've even got apparel hanging on some racks for sale in the first few feet of this store, a beauty salon. And he tells the owner, he's confused when he walks in. I mean, what is this? Is it a secondhand clothing store? Is it a jewelry? What? I thought I was walking into a salon. And as is often the case on the show, Marcus, he hones in on the focus of the business. Now, it turns out this salon owner, she's got her own line of hair care products. He asks her, well, what are the margin on those? Well, in excess of 70%. What's the margin on those clothes and on these knickknacks and on that jewelry? Well, at best, it was about 30%. Now, from a business perspective, right, this looks like a no-brainer. Well, you know why? Because it is a no-brainer. Devote more space to your own products is what he tells her, because not only do they make you more money, but they are congruent with the salon business. Get rid of all that other stuff. And that speaks to how many people are distracted, though. And the phrase leaps to my mind, it seemed like a good idea at the time. And so does texting while we're driving, but it's dangerous. And once again, I'm drawn to ask, why? Well, Marcus, he asked the salon owner that same question about all this other stuff, and she didn't have a good answer. Well, you know why? There isn't a good answer. It's likely that somebody suggested, maybe a salesperson came by selling their wares, and maybe she made an emotional decision without thinking it through. Maybe she thought, people are coming here for this, and maybe I can sell them that. I don't know what she was thinking, but we could all kind of surmise it, can't we? And now here's Marcus walking into her struggling business, and it's apparent to the most novice business person among us. But she can't see it because, like all those forms that I talked about, it's been this way for so long. She long ago forgot why she did it. She just did it, and here she is. Lack of focus in business or any organization happens when we get up today and we repeat what we did yesterday, thoughtlessly so. And we know tomorrow isn't going to be much different. We're just pushing to keep our feet moving. But in what direction? Movement doesn't equal meaningful or positive action. Hamsters, they move real quickly on that wheel. They're not going anywhere. And that's exactly where some of our businesses and organizations are going to. Nowhere. Right now is the time. I don't care if it's your personal life, your career, or your business. Now is the time to focus. Or maybe to refocus. When the slightest movement can put a camera, a high-end camera, out of focus, what makes us think that all the movement happening in our lives, that won't do the same thing for us? You know, this is not a set it and forget it kind of a thing. And too many times, I think that's how we approach life. We think we got focused once, way back when. Wait a minute, we got to go do that again? Yeah. Because our lives don't have an autofocus setting. Even if we choose, if we were to choose one, it isn't there. We've got to keep our hand on that focus ring of our own lives and make sure we're concentrating on the things that matter most. And like that picture of the screws, we don't have to focus on just one, but we can't focus on everything either. Focus on your family. Focus on your career. Focus on your friends. I mean, there's just three, for example, and maybe your three look very differently. Mine are pretty simple to state. Now, I'll admit to you, true confession, crazy hard to remain true to with the intensity that I think they deserve. My three? Faith, family, career. Yeah, that's the order of it. And like my favorite one-word question, why? It's likely because for me, all three are so closely intertwined. I find that a loss of focus on one, faith, family, and career, a loss of focus on one can quickly lead to a loss of focus on the others as well. It's been a while since I recorded a show, so... And I apologize for that. I'm going to try to get more back on our regular schedule, or I should say back more on a regular schedule. Hello, brain, meet mouth. I would tell you that I've been busy, and I have been busy. Did I do today's show just exclusively for you? No, I did it because I needed it. So quite oftentimes I find myself working on content that I need. Sure, I want it to benefit you too, but, preaching to myself as much as I'm trying to preach to you. It is about higher human performance. That is the name of the podcast. I'm certainly glad that you are here. I would appreciate you subscribing. Go over to iTunes and leave me a review if you care to. Every podcaster's browbeating their audience for that. I never have. I bring it up every now and again, and honestly, I couldn't even tell you how many I've got. I think the last time I looked, which is a long time ago, there was, a handful. Don't really keep up with it. I don't pay attention to downloads. I break every rule of podcasting, which is not a great thing, and I'm not bragging about it. It's just kind of how I roll. You can find the show notes for today's episode at the home base, Bula, BULANetwork.com/247. Bula Network LLC is the company name. The name of the podcast is Higher Human Performance. If you go there, higherhumanperformance.com, it'll take you to the same place. And that's it. Randy Cantrell, Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas is where I'm coming from. inside the Yellow Studio.